Or if I were hurt that side of the door. Ready? Is anybody signed up for public comments? None? All right, we're going to go ahead and call this August 12th Westminster City Council meeting to order. We appreciate everybody coming out. Got a lot of good things going on tonight, that's for sure. First off, if you would note the absence of Mr. Dunn. Certify quorum. And then join us for the invocation and pledge allegiance by Reverend Audrey Reese.
Let's pray together. Holy God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunity to come together for such a time as this, to serve this city that we all love so much, to lift up and celebrate those who are with us, and to discern your will and your wisdom and your way. Direct and guide our thoughts, our words, and our actions, so that in all that we think, say, or do, all glory and honor is given to you. In your name we pray, that all God's people say.
Amen. Amen.
Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just a note for everyone tonight. Tonight is Miss Reverend Audrey Reese's last night with us. She will be resigning her position on council. I want to personally thank you for stepping up when we needed somebody to fill that seat and the work you've done, dedication to the city. You've been honest. You've been involved. You've been dedicated. You've done a lot and made a big impact. And I appreciate your time here. And anybody else that's considering running, we've got an election coming this year, and her seat's going to be vacant. At this time, we're going to go ahead and do a proclamation for our 10 and under Westminster softball champs. Herb Poole, where are you at? You still outside?
Hi.
Yeah. Once again, we'll say it. We say it every time, and I don't get tired of saying this. I don't think people realize until you have a kid playing sports how much time it takes, how much work it takes, how much effort it takes, and yes, how much money it takes. So we appreciate everything you guys do. I raised my kids up playing rec ball, and it's expensive. But you guys have done a phenomenal job on the team. And I'm so proud of these kids. I don't know what else we can do but just build them a ball field. How about that? Very good?
That'll work.
So I'm going to read this, and then we'll call the girls up to pick up a copy. Proclamation honoring the state champions of Westminster 10U softball all-stars. Whereas the City of Westminster Recreation 10U volleyball girls have been crowned state champions by the South Carolina Recreation and Parks Association. And whereas the City of Westminster is extremely proud to be the home of the Westminster Recreation Department. And whereas the Westminster Recreation Department promotes physical health and personal development through team sports such as softball. And whereas the Westminster 10U softball all-stars defeated Greenwood County to win the state tournament and the title of state champions. And the Westminster 10U softball all-stars have won the state championship in 2024 and 2025, going back to back. And whereas the team is coached by coaches Brad Dixon, Clay Chapman, Lee Cook, and Joe Perkins. Now, therefore, by the virtue of the authority invested in me as mayor and on behalf of the City Council and citizens of the City of Westminster, I hereby honor and celebrate the Westminster 10U Softball All-Stars. Congratulations, ladies. All right, I'm going to call the quick coaches up. Brad Dixon, Clay Chapman, Lee Cook, and Jill Perkins. You guys up here? All right. Ladies, if you will, come around this way. When I call your name, we're going to give you a copy and ask you to stand up here so we can get a picture with you later, okay? Carolyn Chapman. Kelly Cook. Wavy Dick. Addison Perkins, Maddie Purdy, Abby Rogers, and Leah Smith.
Y'all slide this way a little bit.
Kelsey, y'all want to step behind him? Sir? Yep, we'll get one. You get in the middle of the whole track. Come on, Matt.
You want to come up there?
I'm going to stay there if you want to, but I want you to be seen.
Congrats.
I didn't get through this much.
There we go.
I'll stand on the fifth.
You got him?
All right, everybody smile. All of a sudden, y'all smile for Mama's for a quick second, too. Y'all looking hurt.
Sir, we're not going to turn upside down.
Get it all out.
About leaning your head to the left for her. Got it? Thank y'all very much.
We're going to go outside and take some pictures, guys. We're going to let them have it. That's our brand.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Herb.
We used to go to Kansas for classes for real estate.
Oh.
All right, now we have one more. Miss Leah Price is here from the Westminster Library. I just became aware of the fact we have some English tree in Westminster, not English tea. So we're going to read this proclamation. You want to tell us a little bit about how this tree came about?
So I've been the manager at Westminster since 2011, and sometime in the last few years, going through an old book and came across a news article, and there is a guy and several women standing with this itty bitty tiny tree. And so in 1985, the city of Westminster, South Carolina, joined in with the city of Westminster, England, to celebrate England's 400th anniversary. It says some stuff was exchanged, I'm not sure, but the local groups decided to plant the tree that is in front of the library, the one that's this big now. They planted it in 1985, and because it was the connection with England, they named it the Victoria Oak. So we call her Victoria, and just as a silly, goofy program, we had her a birthday party in June, and Trees Upstate gave us trees, and we were able to give everybody that came a tree, so passing her legacy on, I guess you would say.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, a proclamation celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Victoria Oak. So that tree's only 40 years old. It's enormous. I went by and looked at it, but it's huge. Yeah. All right. Whereas in 1985, the city of Westminster, South Carolina, was honored to receive an invitation from Westminster, England, to participate in the celebration of the 400th anniversary of its founding. And whereas, as a gesture of friendship and shared heritage, Westminster prepared and presented a framed collection of photographs depicting landmarks of our community, along with historic mementos, to our sister city across the sea. And whereas in that same spirit, the Westminster Garden Club planted a willow oak tree at the Westminster Library on June 19th, 1985, dedicating it as the Victoria Oak in honor of Queen Victoria, the beloved monarch of Great Britain who reigned from 1838 to 1900. And whereas this memorial stands not only as a tribute, but as a lasting symbol of goodwill, unity, and friendship between Westminster, South Carolina, and Westminster, England. And whereas in 2025, the City of Westminster proudly celebrates the 40th anniversary of the Victoria Oak, recognizing the vision and dedication of Westminster Library, late Mayor Garland Johnson, the Westminster Garden Club, the Westminster Rotary Club, the Lazy Daisy Garden Club, and countless citizens whose efforts made this lasting gesture possible. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Westminster City Council does hereby honor and commemorate the 40th anniversary of the Victoria Oak, expressing gratitude for the shared history and enduring friendship between our two Westminsters, and encouraging all citizens to reflect on the importance of preserving our heritage for generations to come. I want to present you with a plaque for the library. Got a couple of copies of this. So,
Reagan wants documentation that we did this.
I knew some of them squirrels acted a little finicky around here.
been in that English tea tree.
The British squirrels.
Yeah, British squirrels. All right, public comments? None. Comments from mayor and council? Anyone have anything? Once again, thank you, Miss Audrey.
Thank you.
For all you mean for the town and all you've done. Next. Piedmont Municipal Power Agency contract renewal. Mr. Bronson.
Mr. Mayor, I have Mr. Ledbetter is on the phone. Joe Ledbetter, General Manager of PNPA. Because the phone services are a little bit odd tonight.
They're terrible.
I'm not able to get him on the Teams meeting, but I'm putting Joel right there. Joel has a copy of the PowerPoint presentation. If, as we go through it, you guys have any questions for Joel, please just ask him. Joel's will pipe up if he hears me say something incorrect or if he has something that he'd like to add. Joel, can you hear me okay?
I can't hear you.
Okay. Thank you, Joel.
Joel, if you can't hear, just let me know.
I'll let you know. Thank you, Mayor.
All right. So tonight we're talking about the Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement. And specifically in front of you tonight is what we're calling the Catawba Project Power Sales Renewal Agreement. I got those two words out of line there. And for most folks that may not know, this is the primary contract that we have with PNPA for them to be our electric service provider. So I'm going to start just a quick recap of what's going on, how we got here. The Catawba Nuclear Station, PNPA is co-owner of Unit 2 of the Catawba Nuclear Station. PNPA owns 25% of that nuclear reactor. And if you look over to the side, Unit 2 has about 282 megawatts of generation. The original cost back in, I'm going to just say the 80s, because I don't have the specific date, was around $3.5 billion. That gives you a sense that building a nuclear facility is very expensive. The other co-owners of the Catawba are listed there as well. You've seen this slide as we've talked about PNPA matters in the past. Through PNPA, we have a number of agreements. We are co-owners of that 25%. Part of these agreements that we have with PNPA includes a supplemental capacity and an energy contract with Santee Cooper that is set to expire in 2028 and 2029 for different times for different participants. We have backstand energy that comes through the Energy Authority, or TEA as we often call it. And then we each month get an allocation from the Southeastern Power Administration, and that is for hydropower that is along the locks and dams between South Carolina and Georgia. And then there may be other small purchases in Ember City Generation. Just kind of think of large generators that some of the cities may have to help augment during peak demand. Moving to the next slide. Joel, I'm on slide 5. PMPA is Joint Action Agency, one of 42 in the country. I think most of you know that we're in it with 9 other participants, as we call it, because not everyone is a city. Some of the participants are public works, combined utility systems, those types of things. We have 2 primary contracts with PMPA. One is the Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement, and the other is the Supplemental Power Sales Agreement. That is how we receive all of our power and all of the contractual agreements that are in place to help bring that here. And, most of you know that it's rather complex. And as we go through it, Mayor and Council, if y'all have any questions about any particular thing that I mentioned, please ask, especially with Joel on the line. Joel knows this stuff really well. Moving on to slide 6. Just a real quick, a timeline. The original Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement was signed in 1980. It expires in 2035. It was intended to go for the life of the plant. The current license is set to expire in 2043. Duke Energy has started renewal licensing of its fleet, as they call it. Most of y'all in the room may know that the Oconee Nuclear Station was relicensed earlier this year to give it an additional 20 years. The energy industry has come to understand that nuclear is a very reliable, constant deliverer of power. And so, and since the nuclear stations are very expensive to build, it's much cheaper to maintain these and keep them going and add to the life of the plants. Moving on to slide 7. In 1980, Westminster entered into the Supplemental Power Sales Agreement. It's a companion agreement with Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement. In order to exit the supplemental agreement, it required a 10-year notice, which Westminster, Rock Hill, and Greer exercised in 2018, meaning that we will be 3 cities that come out of that supplemental contract at the end of 2028. So the very first hour of 2029, we are no longer in that agreement. So it goes all the way through midnight on the 31st of 28. I've got 2 arrows here. I'll go with the first arrow. When that concludes at the end of 2028, Westminster has to have something in place to manage that supplemental contract. We have talked about it in this with council before. You guys have seen some of these presentations at the PMPA conferences. There are about 15 different components in that supplemental contract, so it has not just given us the backstand with Santee Cooper. It includes the work that PMPA does for us. It also includes wheeling and transmitting the power and how we receive it at the delivery service. I'm not going to go through all of them, mostly because I can't remember them, but there are 15 components of it. If you want me to get those in, I can get those to you. Most of this is to tell you that it's as intricate and as complex, and whether they intended that back in the day or not, they achieved it. Moving on to the second from the bottom bullet point, PMPA has been working on a new supplemental agreement for all interested participants within PMPA. It's worth noting to you all, not everybody is interested in continuing with supplemental. No one is required to. The last point on there, Westminster must decide if it will participate in the Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement. before it can consider whether or not we want to enter into a new supplemental contract, we have an opportunity, and I'm going to jump way ahead on you real quick, and I'm going to go back to the presentation. There is a misalignment within the PMPA cities, the three that come, that conclude their supplemental agreement at the end of 28, and the other seven conclude at the end of 29. That creates a misalignment in contractual service delivery for PMPA. If you all decide tonight or in a supplement or a subsequent council meeting that you would like to continue participating with PMPA through the Catawba Project Power Sales Renewal Agreement, that will enable Westminster to pick up supplemental with PMPA at the end of 2028. If we decide not to, then we have to go out and figure that out for ourselves. And when I say it, don't take that necessarily to mean that I'm for one or against another. I know how to do one right now, I've signed contracts with PMPA. If you were to say you don't want to, then I have to go figure the other part out. So I want you to know that we can do whatever you want to there. Moving on to slide number 8. This is just kind of a summary slide from our budget workshops earlier this year, just to remind you that we have a lot of moving parts when it comes to our electric service delivery. I kind of picked two of the, I picked a complicated one and an easy one out. We asked you for a rate increase this year, which you passed. We had the PMPA lawsuit settlement in which Rock Hill and Greer alleged misbillings of over $150 million. We paid them $55 million to settle that. Well, we have a portion of that $55 million that we have to satisfy each month. We get billed about $5,000 extra onto our bill. There is a balloon payment of $1 million at the end of that 10-year lawsuit settlement. This year in our budget, we set aside $100,000 to begin creating an account to make sure that we could make that balloon payment when we get to 2035. The other little slide that you see up here is just what does it take to run our electric division. It is part of our combined utility system, so though we're talking about electricity as if it were a silo tonight, electric, water, and sewer all go together for us. It's part of the combined utility system. As one go, they all go. What does it take to run an electric system? You got to have staff, equipment, engineering, materials, and then you got to be able to bill your customers. It really doesn't matter how big you are. You've got to have some of that at some scale. We have it at a small scale because we are a small place. We can't do away with all or any of it. We've got to have some of it just to be able to operate. Moving on to slide 9. Small and scrappy. That's how I define Westminster when we go into the boardroom at PMPA. We are a consistent 2 to 2.5 megawatt user. Very consistent. That's what we are. A lot of people are getting their power bills, not just from Westminster right now, but Blue Ridge, Duke, everybody, where we went through that nice heat wave that we had in July. So I put up here a couple of bullet points. For July of this year, you know, keep in mind the first part, we typically are a 2 to 2.5 megawatt user. We jumped up to 3 megawatts. We peaked at 6.2 megawatts on July 28th at 4 o'clock. That's 300% more than what we typically do, and that was a really hot time period. It didn't cool down at night. In my time here, about the last 5 years, I've not ever seen us go up to 3 megawatts before. It's worth noting that we have a capacity of 5.1 megawatts, so we did not exceed our capacity. That peak usage would be covered by our supplemental contracts when we hit that peak at 4 o'clock on the.
Wait, hold on. Can you help me understand? Just consider me mathematically challenged. For July, is that 5.1 megawatts? That's our per month allotment? That's what you're saying? How did we not go exceed that allotment with a 6.2 megawatt number?
We have the supplemental contract with Santee Cooper. So any time PMPA as a whole exceeds the 277, then the supplemental kicks in.
Thank you.
Very likely all participants were going over or going into a high usage. Whether or not they all peaked at the same time a day is not something that I know, but it's very likely.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
In February 25 this year, as a council passed a resolution to allow us to sell 1.674 megawatts, what we have classified as excess capacity. That's energy that we typically do not use, or energy capacity we typically do not use. You can see over on the right, this is a PowerPoint that was in one of the presentations that we have from PMPA. I blocked out the baseload requirements for the other cities because that is not for me to share, but the participants' Catawba share is public knowledge. You can see over there the base load for Westminster is 2.3, so that fits in with that first bullet point that we are consistent 2 to 2.5 megawatt per month user. Small but scrappy, that's us. And I also wanted to point it out, when you look at the other participants, just take a second to look at the size of everybody else on that board compared to Westminster. The closest one to us is Abbeville, they're smaller. But then after that, you're jumping way up. Who's the next one in there? It's probably going to be Clinton.
Lawrence.
So just to give you a scale of where we fit in terms of the grand scheme of this effort. Moving on to slide number 10. I will not call which staff member thought that was a martini.
Okay, I'm not the only one.
Earlier, this is just a graphic of a hourglass, not a martini. A brief look at the state of energy for 25. So take a moment and think about where we fit and what I just did in the recap. So now we're going to look at what does the energy market look like in 2025. Really all I can tell you in my experience in being here with you in Westminster and being on the PMPA board since 2020, it's different every year. That's really all I can say. Macro view of the electricity market in South Carolina. I'm going to point you to the McGuire Woods report that came out. The South Carolina General Assembly, of which Senator Alexander and Representative Bill Whitmire, or our two delegation members, voted for the South Carolina Energy Security Act. That was done because energy is getting to be at a premium in South Carolina, and is it projected to be undersupplied in the near future. This is called a capacity short market. That's a phrase that Joel Ledbetter gave me. That's not anything that I knew to say on my own. And then the other thing that Joel told me is that bottom bullet point, in a capacity short market, availability surpasses affordability in your decision making. If we want it to be affordable, but you got to get it first. If you can't get the electricity so that we can deliver it to the customer, affordability doesn't even matter if you can't deliver the product. So, it's really kind of strange for us to be in that kind of situation, but South Carolina is either enjoying or enduring quite a bit of growth in the state, and so is the upstate, and so is Oconee County, and so is Westminster. So, you know, we all fall in this together. We aren't not in it together is kind of the best way to say it. Joe moved on to slide number 12. I went on, we're part of the American Public Power Association, which helps guide a lot of policy and best practices and amongst electric producers and users across the United States. These were just three headlines that I pulled out of APPA just to give you a sense of how long in advance you've got to secure a lot of these contracts. It's not something that you decide you need today and you have by January. You've got to really do a lot of planning very far out. Some of you may remember the 2024 PMPA conference. Jimmy Stanton, who is the CEO, President CEO of Santee Cooper, said he didn't look at anything that was less than 10 years out. It's a long-term game. And you've got to have contracts in place if you're going to secure what they call favorable contracts. Moving on to slide number 13. These are just a few more of the headlines that I pulled from APPA. That there is an increase in electricity demand. A lot of that is fueled by the artificial intelligence movement going on right now. ChatGPT, OpenAI, what all ever else may be involved in all that. QR codes, I don't know if that's causing it, but let's say they do. There's a lot of demand for electricity, and it's not necessarily being driven by the residential market. A lot of it is being driven by the need for technology. So as we come back into, and Joel, I've advanced to the next slide, why should you, as a council, consider adopting a renewal agreement a full decade before your existing agreement expires? I think that is a very good question, and I have spent a lot of time talking with a number of people about this. Joel and I have spent some time talking about this as well. You all may recall we hired a rate analyst called Raftellis, and they came in and did a presentation on our sewer system. Well, I retained them after that to help me digest a lot of these moving parts, and why is a good question. So we're going to explore why should we do this. So moving on to slide 15, why renew? Well, the first response when I asked Joel this, he said, well, PNPA needs certainty for its participants. We've talked about electricity being a long game. You've got to plan for it well in advance. And a lot of that comes to you just think about what it takes to build a new facility that generates power. It takes a long time. There's a lot of licensing involved. There's a lot of cost involved. There is a lot of regulatory oversight, regardless of the type of electricity it's going to be. The first sub-bullet under this, the reason PNPA needs certainty from its participants is that PNPA has determined the amount of energy and capacity that PNPA needs so that it can secure contracts to serve its participants. Joel has been telling us as a board at PNPA there are a lot of decisions that we needed to make in 2025 so that he and his staff can then go out and secure these contracts with favorable terms, what we believe will be favorable terms for the long term. There is an expectation that Duke will secure relicensing of Catawba, which will take the life out to 2063. And even though PNPA is a 25% owner of Catawba, it's got to have a plan for what to do if that relicensing doesn't happen at 2043, and it's got to have a plan of what to do if the relicensing does. And long-term contracts, again, is the game. Why renew? Joel, I've moved on to slide 16. The existing supplemental agreement is set to expire. We talked about this for Westminster and the other two cities at the end of 2028. We've got to have a plan on what to do at the end of 2028, regardless of whatever else you decide tonight. I've already mentioned this creates a misalignment of contractual agreements for the PNPA participants. Specifically, even though I said additionally, I probably should have said specifically there, efforts to secure new supplemental agreements is problematic if we're only looking at going from 2028/2029 to 2034. It's just too short of a time period to get terms that are attractive in the market. One contract that is actively under consideration at PNPA right now is for a supplemental contract that contemplates a term between 2029 and 2043. Well, right now we're set to be done with PMPA at the end of 2035. So in order for us to participate in that supplemental agreement, we would have to say we want to extend the Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement so that we then can enter into a supplemental agreement that has that type of terms on it. I think we all know there's a lot of interconnectedness amongst these contracts. They're long-term and they're designed to be long-term, which means they don't offer a lot of flexibility in the short term. Moving on to slide 17, what's in the new agreement? So this gets a little bit heady, but if you'll hang with me for a minute, I'm not going to read every word that you have here because you have it. You have a copy of the agreement. Did I get the renewal in the right place? Sales renewal, yes, I did get renewal in the correct place here. Kylie tried to help me out earlier, I just wouldn't listen to her. But I got it right here. PMPA's enabling legislation was amended, allowing for a contract of an additional 50 years. This new contract allows for that. Back when the original Catawba contract was written, the nuclear station was under construction, so there were references to the plant construction that were in the old one that we no longer need. The existing Catawba contract was written in conjunction with the existing supplemental agreement. Those two agreements are significantly intertwined. Significantly is an understatement. There's a lot of interplay between these two. So the renewal agreement seeks to unwind these two agreements to give greater flexibility on both sides of that equation. The existing references the interconnection agreement throughout the document. That interconnection agreement, and that's between the nuclear plants, was terminated in 2026 and was replaced with others, particularly the McGuire Reliability Exchange. What that means is if something is going on at Catawba, if they've got to go down for refueling, we can rely on that McGuire plant, which is on Lake Norman up closer to Charlotte, not that far away from Catawba, to be able to provide the power that we need. This agreement would begin August 1st, 2035, even though in front of you tonight, in 2025, is asking you to say you wanna jump in this in a decade. It's because this is what Joel needs to be able to put these contracts together. Joel, before I go on and start kind of running through a little bit more of the detail, is there anything that you want to add on at this particular point?
No, I think you're doing a great job. I mean, I will say, just as a refresher, you may have known that our initial enabling legislation only allowed PMPA to sign a contract for 50 years. But the plant was originally, the original license in that plant was through 2025. So we thought we were going to be in the process of decommissioning that plant now, and we would have 10 years to do it. Plant was going to have a 40-year life. Our agreement had 50 years, so we had 10 years to decommission. So when they extended the life, that caused an issue, and Kevin's used the word mismatch some tonight, but it was a mismatch in our ownership contract or the participants contract with PMPA for allocation of the output and the license on the output. And one of the reasons it was asked, why are we doing this 10 years in the future? One of the things that we want to do is we want to preserve the additional 50 years that the legislators allowed us to sign a contract for. Back in 2014, we had them amend our legislation that authorized PMPA and its members to sign another contract for another 50 years. Well, by starting it at the termination or expiration of this existing agreement, we get to utilize the full 50 years of that legislative permission. Had we signed that thing, and we discussed this, had we signed it now, we would not get the benefit of the full 50 years if it was effective today. right? Because it'd only be 50 years from the date it was effective, which is today. And so we had to do it at the conclusion of the existing, because we have three members that have indicated that we do not want to sign a new agreement. So we can't amend and restate the existing agreement if all of our members don't want to do it. So, Kevin, after you and I talked last week, I put more thought into why are we asking you to do a 10-year in the future. And those are the driving reasons. Number one, we want to be able to utilize that entire 50 years additional the legislature has given us. And the other is we can't do it now because not everybody's willing to amend their contract or sign another agreement. Along with what you said is we need some certainty here so that we can solicit and get supplemental power supply for the longest term possible. So those are some notes I made while you were talking to try to expand a little bit on this question, Kevin. So that was a lot, and I'll stop and entertain questions if anybody has any.
Joel, they all fell asleep.
Well, I'm afraid of that. I can't sing
them. No, they're I think you have a very captive audience. I think we're all listening very very intently to that. And I appreciate you filling in some more of those details.
And I hope that wasn't too much in confusion you, but there's a lot of things that went into this, and we did consider going ahead and signing and making this thing effective today or as soon as executed, but you can't do that if not everybody's going to play, right? You just can't get it done because they have rights under the existing agreement that you just can't take away from it. So,
thanks, Joel.
All right, moving on to slide 19. I'm not going to linger on any one of these bullet points. I'm going to try and hit what I think is kind of the most salient. Section one, they updated a lot of the definitions. And every now and again, and I mean no disrespect to any attorney, especially Keith Denny, since he's in this room, sometimes what we're doing is we're satisfying the attorney's needs for clarity. Now, ultimately, I think that all serves us very well, but sometimes that's what some of these changes are. What I would note on the section two term of the agreement is that the agreement is from July 31st, or goes until July 31st, 2085. What you would be agreeing to would be a 50-year extension for both the units at Catawba. And in order for us to participate, you have to pass a resolution to do it. Now, we don't have to pass the resolution. We don't have to participate, but if you want to participate, you have to pass the resolution. Moving on to slide
20.
There's some like I said, there every now and again, some of this we're just cleaning up. I'm going to go down and highlight a change in section four. Well, that's not what I thought it was, but there are a lot of tax implications. Just think that we're a municipality, so when we issue debt, that's called tax-free debt. The reason we got into this endeavor with Duke back in the 80s is because the cities together could come and issue debt that was tax-free, where Duke's would be taxable. That is what helped get Duke over the finish line to being able to construct a plan. So you're going to see references throughout these changes that talk about the taxability of what we're doing. For Westminster, we don't have any contracts with anybody that qualify for what PMPA calls private use, meaning we don't have a contract with an entity that specifically guarantees them the right to something that others don't have the right to that would be outside of that agreement. Some of the other participants do, and there's only a certain amount of the overall portfolio of PMPA that can fall into that tax bracket before we all start to have tax consequences. I think Joel and Julianne do a great job of managing those. Everybody at PMPA is aware of them. That's just not something that we deal with here. Moving on to slide 21. Section 5 modernizes the presentation of the Catawba budgets to participants. There are some things that fall in those general and administration budgets that, will very likely change. Modernizes the payments of our monthly power invoices. Clarifies Section 5H, which we had a lawsuit regarding this past year that was that finished out in summary judgment, didn't it, Joel? 5H.
It did. Well, we actually we came to an agreement and we filed it with the court. It was a negotiated agreement between the parties. Yeah.
And so, what 5H has to deal with is what happens when everything's over. What's the final accounting, and what does that mean? What does final accounting mean? So one of the participants took PMPA to court, was not us, and we were able to all say, we agree, we'll figure that out when final accounting happens. You can see section 6 through 10 didn't have any substantive changes. Section 11 had quite a few. It incorporates some actions that we've taken as a board recently. It adds more specificity for what PMPA can do with the power that we don't use. So we have 5.1 megawatts of capacity. So when we don't use it, what happens to that when we only use two? Well, this is giving PMPA more power to be able to go out and market that on the open market. What else would you do with that out of Section 11, Joel, that's worth highlighting out of this list?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, we passed a policy. The existing Section 11 just gives if a participant declares an excess, you first have to offer it to other participants around that table first. And then after that, you go out and PMPA can market that for you. The existing contract just didn't say much on how to put that into effect. So we just sat down with some time limits and some procedures on how to implement selling excess capacity. And we took that policy and basically put it into this language here. Since we are looking right now at some of our members, including Westminster, are looking to sell some excess capacity. So, but yeah, that's basically it. Says you have to offer it to other participants first. If they don't want it, PMPA can go out and sell it for you.
Oh, Joel, everybody just popped their head up. I think the rain just hit here and we can hear the roof. So just let you know.
Kevin, highlight the proceeds will be credited back. That's one part
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If we sell it, you get all the money directly to whoever sells it.
And that's a credit back on our monthly bill, correct, Joel?
Yeah, however it's structured, however we receive the payments, if it's over time, then credit to you back over time. If it's a lump sum, it may be given to you in a lump sum. It's just to be determined when the terms of the sale take place. Kevin.
Thank you. Any other questions on that slide? Moving on to slide number 23, section 14. Again, we start talking about the private use tax exempt status. You can kind of see that throughout here. That doesn't have a whole lot of impact on us here. The second bullet from the bottom talks about the participant sale of excess Catawba. And whether or not that requires any taxable penalties that could happen. And then the final one, it provides a timeline for notification of participants for sale of the remarketed capacity. A lot of this is, quite frankly, things that PMPA manages day in, day out. I don't have to think about, you don't have to think about. That's why we have PMPA to do it. But I think it's important for you to know that there are a lot of things that are going on behalf of us to get power delivered to Westminster. Moving on to slide 24, not a whole lot from section 15 down to 23. I'm going to keep moving to slide 25, Joel. Right now, when you look at the Catawba agreement, it has each participant's percentage and its share. So if you were to look at Westminster, it says 5.1 megawatts. I don't know where you have megabytes. And 1.83%. So it's just going to remove the percentages.
What's the justification for that? It's out of here. Joel,
what do you say is the justification for moving the percentages?
So removing all percentages because not everybody is signing this contract. Some, like the City of Union, has said that they don't want to go past 35, so we're attempting to sell theirs. And whatever participant assigns this, they're signing to take their percentage share, and it's the same as it is today. Because if we put everybody else's out there, it would not add up to 100%. Right. There was a concern about that. Does it need to be, quote unquote, fully subscribed? Does Catawba need to be fully subscribed? And we've come to the conclusion that it does not. And if it's not going to, if a participant does not want their allocated Catawba share, PPA is doing their best to market it to get rid of it for them and sell it. PPA will still be the owner of it, but we will receive payment to offset all the obligations of that share. So, instead of showing all 10 members, there's not going to be 10 members. There's going to be just 7 beyond 35 is what, you know, it looks right now. But they won't add up to 100%. So we just said, look, each one of these participants is signing for their own allocated share of Catawba. So that's just, we just left it at that. It's not anything secret. We can be shared. We just didn't want to put it in everybody's, or saw no need to put it in everybody's particular agreements.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Did that answer the question? Yeah.
She's saying, yeah, I have another question, Joel. Go ahead.
Yes, that kind of answers my question. And so I want to know, we have to sign by December 48th, I mean 31st, right? But the group that's not signing then, is that what he was explaining, that they'll be, and then will it come when they are all figured out, then it'll be some kind of leveling, or will we sign a new contract, or that's what I want to know.
So we would sign this agreement.
Yes.
There are, I'll use Union as an example. So Union never tied into the Duke transmission system. So they're part of PMPA, but they don't receive any power from PMPA. And they have a contract that's different from all the rest of us. And if you think ours is complicated, theirs gets even more complicated. So when Union is not gonna sign this Catawba renewal agreement, there's 27 megawatts that they were allocated, and they were roughly 10%. So just say that Union was showing up as 10%. Well, Joel is going to take that and sell it more or less the way he's going to market the excess that we offer. So rather than go through and say that Union still has 10%, well, they really don't any longer because they're not going to join the new agreement. So rather than focus on what percentages are listed there, we're focusing on what Catawba's output is available for each participant. So it's, it could be,
yes,
61
well,
half a dozen.
Yes, well said.
Yeah, did I get that right?
Yeah, that was well said. Yeah. Okay.
It really could be either way, Davey. Okay. It's ultimately, as we go down the road, I think it'll make the language, if we talk, a little bit simpler. There's some additional language on how the bills are cut and allocated. Not a whole lot of public policy implication there. Exhibit C mostly just says that we're authorized to sign this type of contract, and that once you sign it, you're in it. Not a whole lot of wiggle room, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, how Westminster in particular, I think, has at times felt trapped by the PMPA agreements.
Sure.
Well, by design, they are long-term, and they aren't easy to get out of because you've got to have a commitment that can't be rescinded in a short duration. I'm not going to say in summary that's what all that says, but comes close. All right, so moving on, 27, and then to slide 28. So when we start looking at who we are in Westminster versus who we are as a part of PMPA, I sat down over a number of weeks and tried to reflect on kind of the most salient points that I think people talk about in town. And the first one is that for many years, we did very minimal maintenance, which caused frequent outages, long restoration times, and we had high cost. So a lot of people just didn't like it. I think there were times where the contract with PMPA ended up being a scapegoat for us not doing the maintenance and not maintaining the system and enhancing the system, all of which we're now doing. So the next bullet point is in the last 5 years, right-of-way maintenance, cleaning out the vegetation, you got to keep that stuff off, and it grows every year. If you're cutting your grass every 2 weeks, just imagine all the stuff that the boys have got to go out and keep off the electric line routinely. Even when they go in and cut trees along the power lines, that's good sometimes for 2 years.
Right.
Rarely is it good for five. So it just kind of depends. New and newer equipment. I was being hyper-technical there because we did buy a new-to-us line truck. It wasn't brand new. I don't know that anybody else cares about that as much as I do. Well-trained, knowledgeable staff. I think we probably have the deepest bench with our linemen right now than we've had in a long time. We do pole replacements. And it may seem weird that I put squirrel guards up there.
No, it's not.
But squirrels can knock power out for big utilities, small utilities, whole towns, whole lines. Squirrel guards are important. And if you want to know how well-loved a squirrel is with our linemen, just ask Lee Baker anytime you see him what he thinks of a squirrel. And then the engineering enhancements. You all passed a bond with the budget that we're in right now that is going to allow us to underground the lines coming out of the substation. Right now they come right through a forest of trees, and if this storm right here knocks some of those trees off, there are three circuits that will go out right away, and it's a mess to clean up. So we get those lines underground, and then those trees can fall at will, and we don't necessarily lose service. Hopefully we won't. So I go to the next bullet. I think that we've turned the corner on maintenance, and we're now into enhancement mode. Also, in that bond that you issued, you allowed us to go out and buy some additional electric meters. Some of those have what is called remote disconnect capabilities. So we have folks that routinely have trouble paying their bill. And it's usually people, if they miss it 1 month, there's a good chance they miss it multiple months, which means we have to send guys out to disconnect. When they come in, they pay the bill, then we have to send the guys out to reconnect. The automated or the auto connect and disconnect allows us to do that from City Hall, so we don't have the guys having to come in and out. It's also a quicker response time to the customer, too. Once they pay their bill, we can do a couple key strokes and get them back on. That adds to our reliability, our responsiveness, and it helps us keep our cost under control. The next point I actually had at one point under the first point, our effective stewardship of this system increases the return of our PMPA membership. So you go back where I think that there have been times, not saying that it wasn't always called for, where we blamed PMPA for things that we as an administration and a city council were responsible for in not keeping up our system. We've got to be wise stewards of that system in order to get the best benefit out of PMPA. Autonomy in how we use the local electric system. So we get to decide where the electricity goes and doesn't go within our own boundaries. We have historically had high cost for our customers when other nearby providers have been lower. So specifically Blue Ridge and Seneca, you know, whenever we put our budgets together, we look at Seneca's electric rates, Blue Ridge's electric rates, Duke's electric rates. Historically, we've been higher because we had nuclear and we had a lot of debt. We're paying that debt down, set to be done with the debt at the end of 2034, Joel, is that right?
Yeah, including the litigation debt, it'll be 2035.
Yeah.
34 on the original debt, Kevin.
That doesn't mean we may not have to go back and secure additional debt if there are some needs at the nuclear plant, but we are on task to get that down. Just think of when you're paying your mortgage, that first mortgage payment you make is mostly interest and a little bit of principal, and then when you get to the end, it's reversed. It's mostly principal and a little bit of interest. We're in that final stage with PNPA and the debt. So most of the payments that we're making now is principal, and so it's when we look at the graphs, you can see it's steadily coming down like a good steep mountain that you want to see. One of the bullet points I put on here, because I know you all enjoy considering rate increases. Whenever we come in here, nobody wants to raise the rates. You don't want to raise the rates. I don't want to recommend you raise the rates. Scott doesn't want you to have to raise the rates. But when we need rates to be raised so that we can pay the bills, we come in here and ask you. Everybody tells you, please don't raise the rates. We don't want to pay more money. But we ask you because it's what we need to keep the system moving, to keep it functional and operating. I think most people get that. And then the last one is when storms and hurricanes show up, we got to respond. So that's Hurricane Helene that I have down at the bottom, about the time it went over our area. We were recounting that fund that we had amongst the staff not too long ago. And I don't know if you paid attention to the news today, but there is the first named storm is out in the Atlantic right now, Hurricane Aaron. So we'll keep our eye on that. That is something that becomes, those two things become a task for you as a council. You've got to make the policy decisions that drive the work that we do as your staff. Sometimes those decisions that you make is not always popular with the general public. People don't want to pay more. Nobody wants to pay more for anything. They want to keep the cost under control, but we come to you and we ask you to raise these rates, and that is not always very popular. I don't say always, I don't think it's ever popular. You have been tasked with doing that the last couple of years, and it's critical so that we are able to maintain the system to get the most bang for our buck out of it. Did I miss anything locally that we talk about with PNPA and how we love it, hate it, and wish we didn't have it, and, but glad we do have it when we need it? That's really what this was kind of my whine and complain and then find a way to appreciate in the same slide attempt here.
You balance that well.
What's that?
You balance that well.
Oh, thank you. So it's more of your decision considerations. So we have a storied history with PNPA. Complex agreements. They're interrelated by design for long-term security, and they have at times made this community feel trapped into a high-cost contract. Among the PNPA participants, threat of lawsuits, settlement of lawsuits, rumor of lawsuits, almost put the verse from the Bible in there, rumors of war, threats of war, whatever that. I'm looking at the pastor here, you're not giving me the reference. Sometimes it's dramatic in the PNPA boardroom, sometimes we eat a donut and then have a nice brown lunch and everything is happy. The PNPA participants are diverse communities. This is why sometimes it's challenging in the boardroom. Think about those communities that you saw on that map a few minutes ago. Sometimes we have similarities and sometimes we have vast differences. So we're looking to achieve different things when we go into that boardroom. We're looking for different things out of PNPA and the rate design and the delivery of the service. And what Joel is tasked with doing is taking this very broad, diverse group of participants and coming up with a policy that yields the best of what it can for everybody. Sometimes it does come down to you get a little more or you give a little more, and it's back and forth. All in all, what I can say that I believe it does for us more than anything is it mitigates our risk, and I think that's a very important thing for us to do. Point 3A, Westminster's costs are tied to PNPA. Participants in the PNPA itself, you've got debt service, lawsuit settlements, change in energy needs, which we've seen a lot of change. If you go back to 2022, you might remember when natural gas prices just went through the roof. And it was selling for around $2 or $4 a decatherm, and then it went up to $15 a decatherm. So that price went crazy all throughout 2022. Went up, went down, went way up. Well, at PNPA, we're considering what that implication was to us, because we get that supplemental power from Santee Cooper that uses natural gas. So it had a lot of ability to impact what we were doing in our communities. Ultimately, it settled out and we were fine, but when you're in the middle of that storm, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Could we be in the middle of an AI storm right now and we just don't know what the outcome is going to be? Are we going to need a lot more power than we thought, or is there going to be something that comes along that reduces that energy need going forward? We just don't know at this point. We have to ride it out. So for us, do we want to continue as an electric service provider? If we do, we have to have a source for power. We don't have a way of creating power, so we've got to go buy it from somewhere. If we aren't a part of PNPA, where would we go buy it? And if we were to go buy it on the open market, there's no guarantee that we have a better rate than what we currently have with PNPA. There's also nothing that would say we couldn't get a better rate. We might. We have to continue to maintain the system as long as we own it. People want the power on. I don't think there's anybody that likes their power to go off. And there's cost associated with that. You as a council have to continue to navigate the complexity of environments that are not here in Westminster. If we continue with PNPA, we've got to navigate what happens in Greer. We've got to navigate what happens in Newberry. That touches us. You have the macro and the micro environmental considerations, what's happening at the national level. We've had this whiplash effect. So you had the Obama administration and energy was heading in one direction. You had the Trump administration, we headed in a different direction. You had the Biden, we headed in a different direction. Now we're heading, so we just kind of keep, like, it's like somebody slamming on the brakes with us. That affects you as a council, because all that matters at the national level matters to us, because it may impact our cost to our customers. Growth across South Carolina, upstate, Coney County. I believe Seneca tonight is talking about some growth issues in their council meeting, where they have a neighborhood for 300 homes, and do they annex it or do they not, or does that development happen or doesn't? That's just to show you that the growth pressure is here and it's in Oconee County right now. Technological changes that affect the energy needs there, I'm referring to the AI. Supply chain, you know, we had right after COVID, it was hard to get anything. Most of those supply chain issues have cleared up, but I think if anything, a lot of us have learned that supply chain is pretty fragile and can be disrupted fairly easily. And then the other considerations are all the things that we can't think about that may impact us. Would we have thought 3 years ago that ChatGPT was going to put a pressure on our electric system? I don't think I did. I don't even know if I knew what ChatGPT was before we hired young Reagan here. I mean, Reagan had to school me up. Imagine the burden he's had, and all these old people screwed up on what's going on there. And then I wanted to just kind of throw something back at you. You've already seen these two slides. Remember, power is a long-term game. You don't go out tomorrow and get a contract for next year. You go out tomorrow and you work for 2 years to get contracts for 10 years from now, which is exactly what Joel is doing. You've also got the macro environment of what's happening in South Carolina. So weigh in the options. I've got six considerations that I put in here for you. We're bound to the current Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement, and if we do this renewal, we'll be bound to that renewal agreement for the next 50 years. Limited direct market access. That means I can't go out and just advertise to bring in more power. However, because we're so small, that's not really something that we would get favorable terms on. Infrastructure dependence. We're dependent on PNPA to help put that infrastructure that brings us the power into place. I would say that's a good thing. not a negative thing. State, federal, regulatory constraints, I just mentioned about that whole presidential thing, how we kind of go one way and then another way and then another way. You've got the federal rules, PMPA bylaws. Even if a cheaper renewable project comes up, we've got to consult PMPA before we can sign on. Small-scale purchasing power. It's very important that you know that we are small compared to most everybody else out there as an electric service provider, which means we have very lower leverage in negotiating favorable contracts on our own. Doesn't mean that we couldn't go in with somebody else. Exposure to market volatility if acting alone. With PMPA, we're pulled in. Right now, you can see I'm relying on Joel Ledbetter to help me make this presentation to you because he is far more experienced in it. If we aren't with PMPA, bless your hearts, you're stuck with me and whoever else I can go find to help us make these decisions. It's not that there aren't people out there, but they cost money. So I gave you a pros and cons. I'll give you an inside baseball. ChatGPT created this list for you. So I caused electric disruption when I asked ChatGPT to give me the pros and cons. But look how well it did. I said, give me a pro and con for Westminster and its use of PMPA power. And it spit this out as if it knew everything that was going on here locally. How it knows, you have to ask Reagan after the meeting.
Reagan put it in.
Yeah, Reagan. Some of these are bigger than what we would deal with normally. We would hire a consultant or we would hire another entity to do it on our behalf. Some of these we would actually do ourselves, but most of this, when I look at this, the pros outweigh the cons from my perspective. And I know that when I give you this, I hope you know that I've labored over whether or not to make the recommendation that you adopt this resolution tonight. Brian and I have spent time talking about it. I've spent time talking with my fellow PMPA board members, spent time with Joel talking through it, the Raftellis guys. What do we do? Should we get in this 10 years out and keep going, knowing all the history and everything that's probably been written on Facebook since I started talking about it? It's a heavy decision to make. To get down to it, do you want to continue to provide electric service? If you do, we got to have a contract to bring the power in. Are there other options than PMPA? Sure, there's a bunch of options. We can go out on the open market, but in order to go out on the open market, we've got to secure consultants and engineers to help us figure out how we go out on the open market and bring that in. Do you continue with PMPA by signing the Catawba? How did I not capitalize all that on there? Sorry. Continue with PMPA by signing the renewal agreement, and that answers one and number two. It's up there. So there you go. The next slide is the end, but I thought I'd just kind of let it rest right here on this slide because these are your questions, because you could say you don't want to do power anymore. If you say you don't want to be the electric service provider, I promise you Duke or Blue Ridge would be willing to entertain a meeting with me in a heartbeat to provide that. If you want to continue, then we've got to have some way to get power here. If we want to continue with PMPA, the time to make the decisions are at hand. So I've talked a lot. I'll turn it over to you to tell me what you're thinking. But before I do, Joel, anything else you'd like to add before we have the council start kind of deliberating there?
No, Kevin, I think you've gave a very comprehensive presentation and hit all of the salient points for sure. But I'll just go back and reiterate one of the things you said. It's a very capacity constrained market, and it's not just in South Carolina. It is this region, and it's really nationwide. And the reasons are twofold. Well, maybe threefold. Industry's growing because of the onshoring. this part of the country is having tremendous population growth because it's a great place to live. And then AI and data centers are just sucking it up everywhere. It doesn't matter where it's at. I mean, they're looking for any kind of capacity. And all the players are capacity constrained. And I think you've heard me say that over the past couple of years. And it's just a very difficult time. Certainly if you went on your own, you mentioned that you could, you are a little bit of a smaller player. Are there things out there? Probably, but it's not a pretty sight out there. And PMPA and its participants have, we've been through the pain. And we all can remember the 2000s, how difficult it was and with all these utilities around us having excess capacity, and they were selling it for a song, and we were sitting there scratching our head going, wow, what have we gotten into? Well, PMPA and its participants have survived that, and now we got to a point where we've got a very valuable resource that's almost paid off, that's going to have their life extended, and it's carbon free. It's got a very stable fuel supply, and so we're at a point now that we've birthed this baby. It's now time to enjoy the child as it grows up. So, with that, I'll just answer any questions.
Thank you, Joel.
Have.
Anybody got anything else? Any questions?
I mean, not for Mr.
Lester. Well, as all y'all know, I have been probably one of the major proponents of getting out of PMPA for years. And there's two major things that have changed. One's leadership. The leadership of PMPA has changed, and Joel has done a phenomenal job of making me more comfortable with us being in the PMPA and then providing our power. But one of the biggest changes we've seen is just like Kevin's talking about, with all these data centers moving in, we hear constantly about possible brownouts with Duke System. Blue Ridge talks about it. I've had two phone calls from two chicken farmers in the last month that were told by Fieldale that they need to be prepared, have the generators up and ready, because they're probably going to be seeing some brownouts. Then you look at all the growth that's going on in the last few years. If that continues, it's going to take what? How long it take, Joel, to put another power plant together? 5 years, 6 years?
Nuclear, it's probably going to take 12 to 15 combined cycle. If they can get all the permits and everything, they can roll it out in maybe 6 to 8. Yeah.
So if we were to go with one of them, then we're looking at that possibility. That's going to be something we're going to have to deal with. If we go out on the market, like Kevin said, and find power, we're just like leasing a car. Do you want to lease a car or do you want to own a car? Well, we're about to own a car that we'll have paid for. It's ours. We have to maintain it, keep it up, but it's ours. We know we have it. And I just think the way that PMPA has been structured now and the way the leadership is, I don't think that I have any concerns whatsoever with staying with them. There's always a possibility of something going wrong with Catawba and us getting stuck with a big bill. But that same issue goes if you go with Duke or Blue Ridge or you buy power from somebody else. You never know. And I wanted to say that because I know I was the one pushing to get out of it for the longest. But just the last few years, I've totally changed my view on it. And I think it's the right thing for us to do. I know a lot of people in town don't agree, but they don't know what we've seen and what we've gone through. And the number one concern I have is the city of Westminster has electricity, it's reliable, and we can afford to live here. So that's my thoughts. That's the dumbed down version.
That's the dumbed down
version. Mm-hmm. So you have a resolution on whether or not you'd like to pass, or for your consideration in your packet later on. I pulled this up to the front because Joe was kind enough to be able to join us by phone. He wasn't able to be here in person. So Joe, I really appreciate you making your time to do it by phone for us.
Absolutely.
Are there any other questions for this? I know I took a long time, but I think you needed to hear what most of this was so that you're doing your job decision-making, I almost said the deciders, I was pulling George Bush on you there. In your decision-making roles, you needed to hear a lot of this, you needed to hear Joel's input so that you can thoughtfully consider whether or not this is the right thing to do. Because it's a horrible time to make something, a decision 10 years out before it all catches, but I think you now understand why that it's in front of you now 10 years out is because it needs to be in front of you 10 years out in order to have what we believe to be the most favorable return on these contracts that Joel and the rest of the PNPA staff are working on for our behalf.
Well, I'd like to say, Mr. Ledbetter, I think one of the things you said last in the very end there was we birthed the baby. You know, it's time to take advantage of all that good that we've worked through and worked through and worked through. And sometimes 10 years out seems a long time, but it's not. It's going to fall like that. So that's my thought. Is that and of all that you've explained and taught us over the last few years about this, and we've been paying attention and getting ready for this big decision. So thank you for that. But, you know, something that I think will be stay with them would be a great thing to do.
I don't want to open a can of worms, but what a year ago, we, maybe more than that now, we were discussing some type of partnership with Blue Ridge, and then maybe I was sick, but I feel like those conversations kind of dropped. When you talk about us going out and buying power if we don't renew these contracts, is that what you're talking about?
Not exactly. So I'll try and be as concise as can. So we put together, and I say we, city staff and Blue Ridge staff put together an operation and maintenance agreement between the City of Westminster and Blue Ridge.
Right.
That agreement is in place.
Okay.
That agreement helps us do a lot of things. It was critical to us during Hurricane Helene, really for the asking, because we had that agreement in place. They sent us, was it 2 crews right out of the gate?
Yeah.
So as soon as our guys were out working, we had a Blue Ridge contractor here. That agreement enabled that to happen that quickly because they knew they would get paid back from us because we had the agreements in place. So it wasn't us trying to scramble to put agreements in place because that's what everybody worries about. That agreement was also put in place, and it contemplated if we got to the point where we wanted to be done with PNPA, that we could partner with Blue Ridge in essence to take over the service. There was no definitive commitment by PNPA, by Blue Ridge. There was no definitive commitment by this council. It was just, this is a consideration where if Westminster was to decide it wants to stop being an electric service provider, we know somebody who's right down the road that would be willing to come in and probably give us as favorable terms as anybody else. That agreement still stands.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, and I don't think it's contradictory to this at all. We will still be able to use that agreement going forward. Blue Ridge has been a great ally of us here. We rely on them. I hope that they get some benefit out of partnering with us and all that we kind of interact with each other. So it's still alive. It's still well. We use it. We probably have used it within the last 2 weeks because we're working on getting at that transformer that we needed out there at the Horton Fields. We did. They've got a lot of engineers that sometimes will help us out in consulting on what's the best piece of equipment to put in the field, and so we use them to help us do that too. So.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin, could you and Joel, I know, and I'm kind of going back a little bit, but you mentioned data centers, and we mentioned AI and the use of power and how much they pull, but we really didn't go into kind of, can you kind of give an example of how much power a data center pulls and the proximity of these, that they're not across the country, but they're within a certain amount of distance?
Yeah.
And that's what affects our power here.
Yeah, so the very, not that long ago, real term or close term example is I had a call from a Bitcoin group and they want to do Bitcoin mining. and they needed 121 megawatts to run the machines that they want to run, which means they need 121 megawatts constantly. It's going to pull that power 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. They essentially bring these pre-assembled units. You can go online and look at them. This group was looking at using that same type of thing. It looks like those containers that you ship with. They bring them in. The servers are already racked. They essentially plug them in. They want to be as close to the substation as possible. They make a lot of noise, so they want it to be removed from residential areas because they don't want complaints. Well, this group needed 121 megawatts. I told them right out of the gate, I said, we don't have 121 megawatts. I mean, you just called small town USA. I can give you a megawatt. And so we talked back and forth, and ultimately the guy said, if you could give me 5 megawatts, I'd take it. I said, well, there's a lot of considerations in giving them 5 megawatts because they can plug and play. They can plug it in almost as easy as you plug in that wall, and they can unplug and leave your community just as quick, meaning they could use 5 megawatts in a month and be gone and leave you with the bill. We wouldn't want that. So I talked with our attorney, which was Lawrence Flynn. He was also working on a similar agreement with another PMPA participant. I won't call their name because they didn't give me permission to do so. They were working with the same group on the same thing. This group wanted 121 megawatts. However they could get it, they'd take it in chunks of 5, 10, 15. They would take it, they would show up, they would buy the land, they would plug it in, they would use it. And then when they found a better rate, they would be gone. So keep in mind, we're a 2 to 2.5 consistent user. And this group wanted 5, double what we normally use. Some of the PMPA participants have had data centers come in, not necessarily the Bitcoin miners. They've come in, they've been there for a short period of time, and then they left. I think there was one that was, Joel, was that 15 megawatts? The without calling the name that you remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a Bitcoin miner too. Kevin. And Bitcoin miners are a little different than data centers. They are highly mobile. Data centers are a bit more permanent, and they can build very quickly, and they can impact you in the range of 300 to 500 megawatts. And keep in mind, PMPA's entire allotment of Catawba is 277, and they can put these things up within 18 to 24 months. And the mayor asked, how long does it take to build a generating plant? Well, to build a 700 megawatt generating plant or a 1,000 megawatt generating plant, I think I said 6 to 8 years, and they can come in here and plop those things down in 24 months. So that's the market that PMPA is out there trying to secure capacity in. We're competing with all these other loads that are looking to use any kind of capacity that's available. And PMPA's out there going, yeah, we need about 70 megawatts. And they're like, well, you need to get into our load forecast. And that's another reason, Kevin, that we didn't mention, and I'll take the opportunity to mention it now, is we are in nobody's load forecast for our supplemental needs. Our current supplemental provider has taken us out, and we, with the proposal that we have from them, or from the provider that we have on the table, they are putting us in their load forecast, which gives me great comfort. It should give all the participants comfort that we are being planned for, and our generation needs above our allotment from Catawba will be met because we're in somebody else's load forecast and planning. So that was a little bit longer answer than just data centers, but
yeah. So to add to what Joel said, that group that was looking for 121, they didn't stop. Presumably, they found it with somebody else who now is selling them that power. That if we wanted to go buy power, that power is now off the market. So when Joel talks about Santee Cooper putting us back in their load forecast, that means we have a placeholder and a right to that power where if we aren't in that load forecast, we don't. Mm-hmm. So Google could send a data center in and gobble that up without really blinking. Anybody could. I pick on Google. I should pick on Google. It's not just do we sell it, but it's we compete against those people to make sure we have the electricity to provide our customers. And that's what some of the cost drivers are.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Joel, it looks like you did a good job. They don't have any more questions.
No, I was your supporting cast, Kevin. I just apologize that I couldn't be there in person.
No, I feel like I really just said most of the stuff I've heard you say in a boardroom, so very little of it was original.
That's why I thought it was so good, Kevin.
All right. Well, Joel, I'm going to let you go. I will send you a text the resolution and let you know the outcome.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed spending time with you all this evening.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Kevin, I've got something needing a break.
Okay. Well, I'm done with this if you guys are done. Scott's got a really long-winded explanation coming up.
I know Scott. There ain't nothing long-winded about him. All right. So we need a motion for a five-minute break. Is that good?
Yeah. Motion for a five-minute
break.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank y'all for sitting through that and listening. That's a big decision for us. 5 minutes? We're good.
Yep.
How are you? How's Sandra? Still got COVID?
Pretty much
good. Good, good, good.
Hey, Dick, when you reconvene, are you going to vote on this resolution?
No, it's further down.
Further down, okay.
I can send you a text.
Yeah, if I don't stay, I'll text you. You can text me tonight.
Okay. I will. I'll be glad.
Okay.
I'll give you a call.
All right. And this is what Scott's going to get into?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. He's not going to vote on that tonight. He wants to know if you'll vote on it. If you're interested, will you vote on it in September, it says?
Must be, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Be a lot of stuff going on there.
Is Scott in favor of removing the fluoride?
I don't know.
Okay.
Scott, how do I stop that or pause it? I don't want to stop it. I just going
to
pause
it. There should be a way to pause it.
I don't see the pause, but I see stop.